in your face. The Cure there, the War Song. You are listening to In Your Face on 3CR during 3CR's May Day special. I'm joined by 3CR programmer from Queering the Air, Madison Moffat, a proud trans woman, queer activist, who's here to talk about occupational health and safety, including through a queer lens. Madison, yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What have you been investigating and discovering?
So, you know, I mean, I've always been a bit of a scholar in this area, although it was within the guise of a commerce degree, but still nonetheless, occupational health and safety within, say, workplace relations studies. And so I've always been looking at it from a general trend perspective. So one of the things, you know, is that what's old is new again. So, you know, we seem to have reached another point where employers are wanting to engage because from their perspective, they're not achieving their targets, which means they're not getting their bonuses, right, around productivity. So once again, they're wanting to create consultative mechanisms that include consultating with workers around safety. And what it's all about is trying to reduce the safety dividend, because there's this notion of red tape, right? And, you know, safety's gone crazy. Whereas the irony being, however, that the red tape, more often than not, has nothing to do with what the statute demands. The red tape is actually the business administrator's response to their liability. So they create the red tape, not the workers, you know, not the unionists, not the government. They and, you know, certain other parties such as OHS auditors and environmental management auditors who have this insane notion that, you know, if you administer everything to the nth degree, it becomes safe, right? So you get this cycle where, you know, they're slashing red tape, or what they would refer to as restrictive work practices, you know, which is sort of like a phrase lent from employment relations theory, right? Where, you know, the idea is that we, the workers, develop these restrictive work practices over time, and then management do the sensible thing and get rid of it, you know, through various management, you know, scientific management principles, you know, or at least that's a classical view of it. Whereas in reality, like I said, all the red tape is developed by them in a less than competent response to what's required of them by law. So instead of actually making things safer, they must be seen to be making things safer. It's a bit like Jim Hacker in Yes, Prime Minister, when he says, you know, the cabinet cannot look divided. And one of his ministers says, the cabinet is divided. And Hacker's response is, exactly, that is precisely why it can't appear it. You know, and so, you know, our workplaces can't appear unsafe. Our workplaces are unsafe. Exactly. That's why they must not appear it.
And so often they're unsafe for queer folks and trans folks.
Yes.
And yet we get this pink washing by corporate Australia to try and, you know, show, hey, look, you know, we're doing all these supportive, wonderful initiatives, but really it just benefits them and their queer market per se for more profits, but not actually the queer community or even their workers.
Yeah. So you get this sort of garbled notion of what we would refer to as inclusivity. And once it goes through the corporate interpretation machine, it gets garbled into, you know, again, into about consulting with people rather than taking action. You know, so it's all about introducing, you know, talking forums that are really just, again, an administrative response to the clarion call for more inclusivity. You know, and so that's what a lot of people in queer workplaces now are very frustrated about. They'll be part of diversity and inclusion programs, only to find in the case of many corporate entities at the moment, they've put a stop to their programs because they're not working. They're not achieving the targets. Well, that's because, again, you're not going to achieve targets that are genuine with regards to accessibility and inclusion by administering the living daylights out of it. You know, it's a similar problem. Another thing with regards to queer safety is that there is a highly disproportionate number of queer people compared to the general working population who end up ill due to psychosocial injury. And, you know, I don't think, you know, we need to expand too much as to why. People are just hammered and, you know, the microaggressions go on steroids once you enter a workplace and people know that you are queer and, may I dare I say, particularly if they know you're genderqueer. And I dare say, actually, even worse, if they know you to be gender fluid or non-binary, because that's weird, right? And they, you know, can't quite understand what that's all about. So you just end up being just on a micro level and a macro level, just increasingly harassed, sometimes with good intentions, sometimes more nefariously, and you end up burnt out. Now, the bad news is that for those who are burnt out, not just queer burnouts, but non-queer burnout people, is that in 2024, the Victorian government modernised, was the term they used in the statute, modernised the workers' compensation scheme. I would say they just restricted the scope of it by deciding that it wasn't enough for you to be burnt out. You know, so news to anyone that's burnt out due to workplace aggression, you could return to work at any time. It's just all in your head. Unless you have a condition that is described in the DSM. So the diagnostic manual that's used globally by psychiatric and psychological associations. So in other words, you have to be so ill that you've got a registered mental illness according to the DSM before they will consider it to be a psychological or psychosocial injury. So that's new in Victoria since 2024.
And people go back to work and they can't work, so they just get sicker.
Yes.
And they can't get out.
Yes.
And if they do get out, then we have this underclass of queers that, you know, develops because people are burnt out,
yep,
sick, living in poverty, can't pay rent, can't buy food,
yep,
can't pay medical expenses. And I mean,
people have to vote with their feet, James. You know, you can't continue like that. So what does that mean? Like you said, poverty, because you're not getting workers' comp. See, with workers' comp, you'll get at least a fair percentage of what it is that you were earning in the first place. Right. But, you know, if you're not actually able to access workers' compensation because you're merely burnt out rather than having a psychosocial illness as defined by the DSM, right, you're between a rock and a hard place. And I've noticed a number of rocks and hard places. But yeah, like you were saying, James, you're especially marginalised.
You said you're seeing a lot of this in the community. How widespread is it?
I think that it is quite widespread. You know, when I work in peer education and peer support, I dare say that the vast majority of discussions that I end up having with clients, and, you know, and as a result, clients talking amongst themselves in the forum, where they are being in one way or another particularly discriminated against, is in the workplace. You know, rarely do the discussions turn to the way that you're treated in the street anymore. It's really the workplace which is, you know, at the forefront of this cultural war, I think. And I think it's getting worse because, you know, I actually worked in the corporate sector as an executive in OHS and environmental management, you know, which meant I got sacked all the time because I had the wrong attitude. I had this crazy attitude, James, that was actually about the employer doing the right thing by the worker. So, you know, so my turnover of jobs was pretty high. But still, you know, I was working in that area. And as a result, I got quite familiar with the mentality of your typical executive in these sort of areas of employment. And the attitude is very much one where this is all wokey. You know, you will hear people these days use woke like it's a corporate term. It's quite outrageous. You know, and so this attitude is that, you know, these people are just, you know, they're just here, you know, to suck the salve a bit harder than they're entitled to, you know, and want to be able to get off on compo. You know, it's that repeat, and I was talking about cycles, it's that repeat of the 1980s notion, you might remember, where people who had repetitive strain injuries were being portrayed by people, you know, as you know, just being a weight on the public purse.
And then going on work cover and being surveyed jailed, being monitored, not being believed.
So this is similar, right? Because, you know, the whole idea with RSI was that, you know, it was actually very difficult for anyone to just look at you and go, oh, yes, clearly you have RSI. The same happens with a psychosocial illness, right? And so, like you said, you're not believed. And then what ends up happening is that, you know, various, you know, return to work teams within some of these larger corporate bodies start hiring private investigators. Yeah.
Cutting corners in occupational health and safety is something that, that often happens first when businesses are looking for cost-saving measures.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
So again, it comes down to restrictive work practices. But they see these as restrictive work practices. So what that means from the perspective of, say, scientific management is that there is this a level of work effort and work administration that is necessary to perform the job with a given degree of quality. And then you have this excess. And the idea, funnily enough, like I said, the excess is actually created where it exists by management, right, and business administrators. But the theory around this that's taught in management schools is that this excess is largely created by agitators within the labour force, right? And so when times get tough, it's not so much from their perspective that, you know, when times get tough, we have to cut on safety. What they're thinking is, you know, it's an ideology that drives this, is, you know, what we have to do is now identify the restrictive work practices that are limiting our potential to be as efficient and innovative as we could. And what do you know, surprise, surprise, it turns out to be things like, you know, people being able to work from home, you know, people having that extra ladder so they can actually safely do every job rather than to only 70% of jobs safely because you only have the one ladder, you know, all this sort of stuff, you know, and they don't see it as cost cutting in safety. You know, these people, unfortunately, are not evil. They're worse. They're business administrators, right? You could be evil and you might be converted. If you're a business administrator, you're probably one for life. You know, I fight that mentality with myself every day, right? And as a business administrator, you don't see yourself removing safety. It's a bit like Thatcher. Thatcher kicked the crutches out from under people because she truly believed that people could walk without them. Julie Birchall from The Face. I was just quote a Julie Birchall, a queer journalist from The Face magazine in the 1980s. That's what she said, you know. And I think that's the same with these people. You know, you don't need these restrictive work practices and you'll be happier without them because you'll be more productive.
Madison Moffat, it is always wonderful to catch your insights on In Your Face. Folks can hear you every Sunday, 3 to 4, on Queering the Air here on 3CR.
Yes.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Most welcome. Thank you.
3CR.
Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.